Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading that in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sounds like the resurrection. That sounds like Jesus, don't it? That sounds like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is, his presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too. Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means that you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to receive your inheritance from God. You qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have had to snatch his blood away and undo what he did. But he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did, and the devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on, the longer his list was getting. You know, you keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started out, he'd have 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that they're all roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out two more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, said, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you the floodgates open. Really, everything's really rolled up into one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that other people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go ahead, each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay? Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind, and you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing. and talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you had to watch what you say. All right, now listen to this right here. Now, all of this is real good, but I want to focus on, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? There was a few of y'all wasn't here. Right, I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now. All right, now, everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, with the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or to see clear, what do I need to do? I need to come to somebody. I got to come to somebody that's got the light, right? Because why? I'll be able to what? I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there in your own, at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light. But you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class. You're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light. Right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this row start talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did. Then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least being the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit. He has qualified us, or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're gonna step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we really need to be thinking about what can I do to glorify my Father? Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him. Because what I receive from him is going to change my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, Israel. He have made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who live in the light. In other words, you've been qualified to receive everything that Jesus died to give you.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And we want to look at verse 5, recorded of these words. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. But just a little while, I want to talk from this subject. Jesus suffered to save us. Jesus suffered to save us. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this account of Isaiah, it is important to understand that for us to get the full effect of what Jesus sacrificed for each and every one of us, it is important that we understand what he endured could no other man endure. The price he paid for us, we could not even pay for ourselves. One of the things I am convinced about people of God not really taking serious the sacrifice of Jesus is because they don't really know all that he went through for us. You see, when you don't know what someone has paid for your liberty, for your freedom, when it was free to you but cost them everything, sometimes you are not conscious of the sacrifice that goes into paying a penalty for sin. And many times I think even as it relates to the things in life. When people do certain things for you, and because you didn't do them, and because you have no concept of what it cost them, your appreciation for what they've done for you is not where it ought to be, because you've never had to do what they did. And I think we would be a whole lot more appreciative of Jesus. I think we'd be a whole lot more thankful to Jesus. I think we'd be a whole lot more grateful for him in our lives if we could really get a true picture of what he went through to save you and me. I like the way Isaiah starts this off. He starts it off with two questions. He says, who hath believed our report? And who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Two questions. You see, because the truth of the matter is, this is a fantastic story of sacrifice and suffering, and it's almost unbelievable that someone would go through all that Jesus went through for somebody who was ungrateful, who was unworthy, who was unthankful, and yet he did all that he did while we were yet sinners to bring us into a right relationship with his heavenly Father. There's so many angles, so many roads, so many branches I could launch out in this message to share with you, but I want to try and streamline it a little bit so that you can get a better sense of what Jesus suffered to save us. Listen at this word. But he was wounded. Now, when we think about the wounds, it's important for us to recognize that the crown of thorns pressed on his skull, causing the blood to drip down through his hair into his face. That was one, because the wound opened up his flesh. The nails in his hand. The nails in his feet and the spear in his side caused the wounds that killed Jesus. But listen at this, because what I want you to understand is every wound that was inflicted upon Jesus was inflicted upon him for sin. But not the sin he caused, but the sin that you caused, that I caused, that every human life caused. Jesus endured these wounds for our transgression of the law. Here's what we need to understand. If there were no law, then there would not have been a transgression of the law. But when we broke the law, then the law had to be paid. It had to be dealt with. That was a penalty for breaking the law. And Jesus' wounds paid for those transgressions against the law of God that God had given to his people. Listen at this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Keep this in mind. This is every one of our sins against the law of God. See, when David sinned against God, David recognized that the sin that he sinned was against God. And when David cried out to Lord, give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, it is because David recognized his sin was against God. Some of us, when we sin, we don't even pay attention
to the fact that our sin, every sin, is against God, no matter who the person is that the sin may be perpetrated against. The truth of the matter is it's a sin against God because of who you are and whose you are. And because you are held to a higher standard, it don't matter if the person is cussing you out. When you cuss him out, you might as well have cussed God out. When you treat them bad, you might as well have treated God bad. In other words, God holds you to a higher standard than he does the world. So when you recognize that your sin is against his law, which is his word, which is his will, which is his way, and when that happens, it is against